Amen. Good seeing you. Take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 4, and welcome to our His Design class this morning, and Merry Christmas to you and your family. We have one more opportunity to be together this year, actually two more, because we have the Christmas party tonight, and then next Sunday at 10 a.m. right in here will be our last class for 2014. We're looking forward to it already, and then we will take the weekend of December 28th off. We have a little bit of a holiday scheduled that day with an 11 a.m. service only in the morning and then the 5 p.m. service in the evening. And then we'll be back together again on Sunday, January the 4th of 2015. And that'll be the first class of the year, our great start Sunday. We'll strive to have everybody here and get going on the same page in the same direction in the new year and excited about what God will do. So thank you for being here today. And from my family to your family, Merry Christmas. Thank you for being in attendance. And for our area, this is a winter day. It's a little colder outside. And so for folks that have been in Lancaster for a while, this is winter. So thank you for being here on a winter day. To a lot of the country, this does not count as winter, all right? We're pretty blessed, but we're thankful that you are here and braving the weather and being in attendance. And then I do want to encourage you to be here tonight. The insert in the bulletin, Brother Sean talked about it, but we are going to have a great time tonight at our class Christmas party, by far my favorite activity of the year, and just get together and think about the good things in 2014. And looking ahead to the new year as well. And so if you haven't yet gotten your ticket, be sure to do that today on your way out. I know that you will be glad that you did. Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to continue in our series, Marriage Myths. And we've been exposing common misconceptions about marriage from the Word of God. And today we're going to talk about the unforgiveness myth that says, my spouse has hurt me to the point that I cannot forgive him or her. Now, why do we believe this? And I think by way of introduction, this is in your notes. Within each of us lie two human motives which oppose forgiveness. They are justice, the need to exact punishment on those who have offended, and self-preservation, the tendency to protect ourselves from that which has caused hurt in the past. Now, both of these can be exercised in forgiveness, but often they are used to prevent true forgiveness from being given from our heart. Now, what does the Bible say about this? Well, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32, the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I pray today that we will learn from the Word of God how to forgive. If your marriage is going to thrive for the long haul, it is going to be because you have learned to forgive. Amen. Marriage is an imperfect union. It's an imperfect man uniting with an imperfect woman for an imperfect relationship for life. That's kind of the fine print during the dating and courting years, that that we don't show each other as much because we can control every time we're with one another in those settings, and we can look our best and feel our best and behave our best. But sometimes in married life, when we're together 24/7, we're not always looking our best, feeling our best, or behaving our best as we should. And at times there's disappointments, there's frustrations, there's hurts, there's letting someone down. There's making mistakes. There are things that happen that we regret. And an apology needs to be given, but forgiveness needs to follow. Sometimes in married life, the inability to forgive leads to great bitterness. And there's probably nothing more discouraging to a marriage really going in the direction that it should than having a bitter spouse. And we just need sometimes to let some things go. And I think going into the Christmas season and ending a year and getting ready for another one is a good time to evaluate our own heart this morning. Am I a forgiving person to my spouse, to my children, to others in my life? And that's what we want to look at today, how to be the forgiving person that we should. I like the story of Clara Barton, who was the founder of the American Red Cross. And she was reminded one day of a vicious deed that someone had done to her years before. But as she acted as this, she had never heard of the incident or couldn't remember what had happened. And one of her friends asked her, don't you remember what happened? And I mean, she knew it was a terrible, terrible time. in her life. But Clara Barton said, no. In fact, I distinctly remember forgetting about it. Now, I'm thankful that when God forgives, He forgets. And we're going to study that in a moment. And in our finite minds, we struggle with that. We might say, I forgive you, but we're sure to remember what that was the next time something else comes up. And we have to work at living like we forgot about it. But I want us today, with an open heart and an open mind, to really study this ingredient of forgiveness in all of our relationships, and certainly in the relationships in our home, and how we can benefit from it and strengthen our marriage and our relationships with others around us. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if ye a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And that's the spirit we want in our homes, a restorative spirit. God is not pleased when our homes are a spirit of strife. When we're together in our home, now we all got the Sunday thing down, and we got up and we showered and we brushed our teeth and we got some clothes on and we got our Bible and we came to church and we got our coffee and we got our donut and we sang our song and we know how to do today, right? But it's at home sometimes when the spirit is not right. And all of us this morning need to be reminded that a wrong spirit at home is wrong. We should have a good spirit at home. We don't want to get to the point in our lives and our relationships and our home where the spirit at home is terrible and we're okay with it. We need to look at our homes and say, hey, this spirit should be great. It should be a restorative spirit. And so if we're missing a restorative spirit, if there's something in the fabric of our home that's preventing that kind of a spirit or that kind of approach, then we need to fix it. And that's what this morning is about. How can we have a restorative approach, a forgiveness approach to those things in our life? Ruth Graham Bell said, a good marriage is the union of two forgivers, and we want to be sure that we're doing our part. So let's dive into this marriage myth. How can we expose it from the Word of God? First of all, I want us to study the principles of forgiveness. The principles of forgiveness. What does God teach us about forgiveness in His Word? And I'm thankful that He does, because we need it. And by the way, I'm thankful that God forgave me. And really the premise of being a forgiver is just recognize God forgave you. And God forgave you for something you did not deserve forgiveness. And really, it renders you with the ability to forgive anyone for anything. Well, Brother Rule, if you would know what she said, or if you would know what he did, or if you just knew this, or if you just knew that. And by the way, I'm not demeaning the hurt. I know that there are some that sit in this room that have great hurt. But I just want to tell you something. It doesn't measure to what God forgave you for.
Amen.
And I know it's real, and I know it hurts, and I know it's a lot. But it does not measure to what God forgave you for. And when you really embrace the fact that you stand before God forgiven, that's all you need. That's the ingredient right there to be a forgiver. That's the ability right there to look somebody else in the eye who has hurt you, who maybe has given you a scar in your heart, and be able to forgive, because indeed, God forgave us. God someday will look at you and I as His sons and daughters, as the righteousness of the only begotten Son of Jesus Christ. I don't even understand that, Brother Sam, theologically, but I'm thankful for it. Man, I'm grateful for the fact that I'm going to stand before God and He is going to see me like He sees Jesus Christ. Man, I know me, and I know there's no way in the world God could ever look at me that way. But the Bible says that He will. How? Because the blood of Jesus Christ washes my sins, and God sees me through a forgiven eye. And that's how He encourages you and I to live, to be a forgiver. So how can we do it? Some principles from the Word of God. First of all, forgiveness begins with God. The Bible says in Psalms 86:5, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. God is ready to forgive. You know how we should live in our life? Ready to forgive. When our spouse says to us, I'm sorry, we shouldn't put them on trial. Well, it's about time you said that. Now I'm going to give it some thought, you know. And we just got to think about it, you know, and what a jerk they are and all the bad things they did, and let them sweat it out a while, and then we may or may not forgive. Listen, we should live ready to forgive. Hey, I'm sorry. No problem. Hey, I'm sorry. I forgive you. We're good. Hey, I'm sorry. No big deal. We're good. Let's go on. We should just live ready to forgive. That's what God does. He just lives ready to forgive. If we'll come to Him and confess, He is faithful to forgive. He's ready for that. And we want to follow that pattern that the Lord sets. We see God's forgiveness promises, and I love these in the Scriptures, so we'll go through them quickly. The east-west promise in Psalms 103, as far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us. If you go north to south, you can reach north or south, but if you go east, you'll never reach west. If you go west, you'll never reach east. What it's saying is, listen, as far as we can understand two things to be apart, that's how far our sin is from God. They're as far as the east is from the west. Then the amnesia promise in Jeremiah, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. What a promise that God gives. He'll remember it no more. Have you ever talked to God and gotten something right and made something right with Him, and then the next morning be in fellowship with Him and kind of say, man, God, you remember that thing from yesterday, and it's been on my mind and heart again, and I feel so bad. And God say, what are you talking about? Well, you remember that thing? I mean, we talked about it yesterday at length. And I don't remember. Because He forgave. And when He forgave, He forgot. Now, wouldn't it be a blessing to have that ability? And we don't. I promise you, we don't. You get in a discussion with your spouse and you put that to the test. We can recall amazing things with amazing accuracy. I remember when you did that 10 years ago and you were wearing this and your hair looked like this. And you said, it's just unbelievable. The accuracy we can have when we get historical. But God forgives and forgets, and we want to follow that pattern. Then we see the stain remover promise in Isaiah. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He washes them white as snow. Then we see the deep sea promise in Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. What is God doing? He's laying for us a pattern. Listen, I've put them as far away from me as I can. I buried in the depths of the sea. I've washed them white as snow. I've promised to remember them no more. This is the way that I, God, forgive, and it is the way that I want you as my children to pattern after in forgiveness in your life. But then we see letter B, that forgiveness keeps no record of wrongs. In Matthew 18, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I mean, that's enough, right? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Brother Earl, does that mean we get till 490 times and then bless God in the 491st time we can give it back to Him? No, that's not the idea. The idea is not to keep track until 490 times. The idea is just a repetitive, consistent, habitual spirit of forgiveness. When we are wronged, we forgive. It's part of who we are as the child of God. And how can we do that? By keeping no record of wrongs. It is not our job to keep tabs of all the things that our spouse has done. Could you imagine if that is what your relationship with God was like? Nobody in this room would ever talk with them, because it would just be that discouraging. I mean, you'd go to God and He would know you like only you know you. You know what I'm talking about? And if that were the topic of conversation, who would want to have that conversation? If that were the beginning of your fellowship, who would want that? But it's not, because we're forgiven. It's not, because it's been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God has no record of wrongs. They have been buried, and He's teaching us in His pattern of forgiveness how we ought to live. And we want to strive not to be the record keeper of wrong, but rather to be the dispensary of forgiveness in our relationship. Ed Young Sr. said, forgiveness is not merely a one-time, two-time, or even seven-time decision, but a way of life. Forgiveness is to be habitual, a practice that becomes second nature. We just want to be forgiving people. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you struggle with being a forgiving person, spend some extra time this holiday season remembering you're forgiven. Spend some time at the cross. Think about the price paid for your sins to be paid for. When Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross, when He suffered in anguish, when He said, it is finished, that was for you. Amen. And He did it. He loved doing it. There was great pleasure in His suffering because of what He provided for you and I. And if we will remember that and embrace that, it will help you and I to be the forgivers that we should be. Then we see letter C, that forgiveness does not seek revengeance. Forgiveness does not seek vengeance. In 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. True forgiveness does not seek vengeance. We don't want to have a spirit of having to get revenge with our spouse. They did me wrong. Now I'm going to do them wrong. Or they did this and now they deserve that. Listen, how thankful we are in our relationship with the Lord that we don't get what we deserved. If Gabriel Rule got what he deserved, I'd spend an eternity in hell. No question about it. That's the way it would be. But because of God's love, His grace, His mercy, I know I'll spend an eternity in heaven because of His gift of His Son and the forgiveness that He has given me. And from that relationship and understanding, I should forgive and not seek to keep score and not seek to get vengeance. This spirit in our culture today of this is what was done to me and bless God, it should be done to everybody else. Where say that in the Bible? Aren't we as Christians supposed to want others to have it better than we have it? Aren't we as Christians supposed to want people to suffer less than we suffer? Aren't we as Christians to want others to know about Jesus Christ through the way we handle the difficult circumstances of life? And would not that begin at home? It is not ours to seek revenge. God will handle all of that. Our job is to forgive. Dennis Rainey said, you cannot tell whether you have forgiven your spouse by asking yourself one question. Have I given up my desire to punish my mate, to get even? Is that gone from my heart? And then letter D, forgiveness is not conditional or revocable. Well, I'm going to forgive you if you'll earn my forgiveness if. No, it's not that way. The Bible says in Luke, take heed yourselves that thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. It's to be a permanent action. It's not to be conditional upon if they do this or that. It's not to be revocable. If they do this, then I'm taking back my forgiveness. No, we are to have a state of forgiveness that is permanent and real. Now listen to me. The flip side of that is the offender is you cannot talk your way out of something you behaved your way into. So if you've been a jerk, and you say, I'm sorry, and then you continue to be a jerk, you're going to have difficulty in your relationship. And yes, we should be forgiving people, but on the other side of that coin, if we know that we're causing strife or discord in our home or in our relationship by our behavior and actions, then we need to make that right. And if there's something that God leads us in our relationship with Him to alter or adjust or make right, then we need to be obedient to Him in that area. So forgiveness is permanent. It's not conditional or revocable. And these are some basic principles from the Word of God about forgiveness. How can we be forgiving people? So then secondly this morning, let's look at the priority of forgiveness. The priority of forgiveness. What priority should this have? We see God's pattern of it and maybe how we could adapt that. Well, we see letter A that forgiving shares with another what God has already given to me. The Bible says in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. The reason we are to make forgiveness such a priority is because we have received the forgiveness of God. Sometimes people will stay away from church and maybe a setting such as this. And their excuse is because the whole room is filled with hypocrites. And I talk to people about coming to church virtually every day of my life. And I've heard lots of good excuses. But you know what? Anyone who holds out because there's hypocrites there is being a hypocrite in that very statement. Because we're all hypocrites. The idea of gathering together at church and learning the Word of God is learning how we might be more like Jesus Christ. Identifying the fact and recognizing and admitting, yes, I know that I'm hypocritical. I know that there are some things I should do that I'm not doing. There might be some things I agree with that I'm not doing, and I need to get those things right, and that's why I'm here. But when it comes to the area of forgiveness, I need to recognize this is something I have received. How hypocritical for me to say, God, I receive your forgiveness, thank you, and then withhold it from others. And again, we cannot look at their offense and justify it, for we will never be asked to forgive anyone more than God has forgiven us. And so forgiveness has been given to us, and we should freely give it. It deserves a priority in our life. But then we see letter B, that forgiving frees me from the damage of bitterness. And this is key and maybe the heart of the lesson. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Forgiving frees me from the damage of bitterness. When I withhold forgiveness, when I hold a grudge, when I keep score, when I want to get even, when all of those things are happening within my heart or stirring within my spirit, we know what happens? I get bitter. And when I get bitter, now I start to further exasperate the situation. Somebody offended me, and I chose not to forgive. And by choosing not to forgive, now the hurt grows. Now the pain grows. Now the length of time to get resolution is going to take longer because of the choice I make not to forgive. Listen to me. If there's something in your life that someone else has done that you're refusing to forgive, I'm sorry it happened. Truly I am. But your refusal to forgive is not hurting them. It's hurting you. That bitterness is springing up in you. That root is taking root in you, and it's hurting you. And you, with God's help, need to release it and say, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to free myself from the damage of bitterness. Several thoughts, Ed Young Sr. said, ironically, the very individuals who have wronged us continue to control us when we refuse to forgive them. We must forgive. Bitterness is the poison we swallow, hoping it will harm the one who wronged us. It's not going to harm them. It's going to harm you and I. Bitterness destroys the container that holds it. It's a poison, the Bible says. Bitterness only hurts oneself. If you hate, you will give them your heart and mind, and don't give those things away. And I want to encourage our class this morning to really evaluate and assess our own hearts. Boy, let's be sure we're not allowing bitterness in us. There are so many things that maybe happen to us on a daily basis, and we must just have a spirit of, I choose to forgive. I choose to give a forgiveness in this way and not to hang on to the spite or the desire to get back, because it will cause me to be bitter. Nobody in this room wants to be plagued with the poison of bitterness. And the surefire way to not deal with bitterness is be a forgiver. And I don't know where you are in your heart this morning, but just between you and the Lord, think about it. Is there something that I'm holding on to? Is there someone I refuse to forgive? How sad it would be if there's somebody in this room we could not walk up to and say, good morning, how are you doing? Well, they, you know, whatever. None of that matters. Honestly, when we stand before God and we recognize that we're going to spend an eternity in heaven when we deserved to spend an eternity in hell. And I don't have time to explain that, but I mean, just let it sink in for a moment. And then the rationale that we would not forgive somebody for whatever, I'm just telling you, it's not even going to compute. It's not on the same plane. It doesn't belong in the same book. It's not there. And we need to be willing to forgive, to release the damage that bitterness could do in our hearts. And then letter C, forgiving places me in line for God's forgiveness. The Bible says in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In Matthew 6, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Hey, how would you like to be talking to God tomorrow morning and saying, God, I'm sure sorry for that action. I'm sure sorry for that thought. I'm sure sorry for that motive. And God say, I'm not forgiving you. What? I mean, this is God. I mean, this is Almighty, all merciful. This is love and mercy and long suffering incarnate. What do you mean you're not going to forgive me? Hey, what about that stuff in your life? What about those people seeking your forgiveness? What about that stuff in your heart that you've been holding on to? Where are you at with that? Listen, we want to be sure that we're forgiving so that we're in line to receive God's forgiveness. Again, how dare we receive God's forgiveness and then withhold it from others? It needs to be a priority. Letter D, forgiving releases God's rewards toward me. The Bible says in Matthew 5, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Listen, when we forgive, when we are honoring the Lord in this way, we're being blessed. But when we withhold doing that, God withholds His blessing. R.T. Kendall said, the greater hurt, the greater the blessing that will come with forgiveness. As Christians, we have no choice. We forfeit our fellowship with God and blessings here below when we do not forgive. How sad it would be to be living as a child of God, but not receiving the blessings of a child of God because we won't forgive. I think sometimes in our hearts, we feel like, boy, we're going to just get even with that person by withholding this forgiveness. And the truth of the matter is, while we may not know the state of that person in relationship with the Lord, the only person in whom we are hurting is us. And there must be a decision to forgive, to let go, to enjoy the liberty and freedom that comes with saying, God, you forgave me, and I'm going to forgive. This is the Lord's pattern, and it deserves a priority in our life. And lastly, I want us to see the pathway to forgiveness. Brother Rule, how do I do that? You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've experienced. You don't know what I've heard, and I may not this morning. So how could we have this type of forgiveness in our life? A few thoughts, letter A. Accept the offense as having been allowed by God. I love the life of Joseph. Probably my favorite Bible character. My wife and I named our son Joseph, and I love his perspective. And Genesis 50:20 sums it up so beautifully. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass it is this day to save much people alive. We don't have time to develop it. Joseph, hated, wronged, betrayed, forgotten, falsely accused, misjudged, all those things. He experienced it. At the end of his life, he looked back and he said, you know what, a lot of people had it out for me, but I see looking back, God used every bit of it for good. You know what? You and I may face some things in life that are not fair. You and I may face some things in life that hurt. You and I may face some things in life that if it were up to our choosing, we never would have asked for. But you know what helps us to forgive is understanding that you and I will never face anything that God doesn't allow.
Amen.
Everything that I face is Father filtered. It crossed God's desk and He signed off on it before it came into my life. And He's sovereign. And God loves me more than love itself. And man, I may not understand it. I may not agree with it. I may not like it. But if God allowed it, then it's going to give me a different perspective. Lord, I don't know why I have this in my life, but You allowed it to be here. So help me to steward this moment, this trial, this hurt, in any way that I can that brings You honor and glory. Because it has been allowed by the Lord. See it that way, that it's crossed God's desk. Then make the choice to forgive, letter B. Make the choice to forgive. R.T. Kendall said, love is a conscious choice to forgive, even if you don't feel like it. If you wait until you feel like it, you probably never will forgive. You must do it because it is right, because of a choice you have made that is not based on your feelings. Again, you want to live where instinctively it is your response to forgive. Make that choice this morning. I'm going to live ready to forgive. And then letter C, forgive immediately while allowing the emotions time to heal. When we have been wronged or hurt or offended or whatever the case may be, and somebody desires to make that right with us, may our response be immediately to forgive. Well, I don't know that I feel like forgiving yet. Well, let's respond in forgiveness and let the emotions catch up. Dennis Rainey said, it may take a while for your feelings to catch up with your will, but your will needs to be respond to the scriptural mandate to forgive your spouse. Again, our response should innately be yes. I forgive. You are forgiven. It's okay. It's behind us. And the emotions may take a while to get there, but that should be the habitual response of our will. Forgive immediately. And then letter D, behave in a manner consistent with forgiveness. A great passage in Ephesians. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We teach these verses and even in the forms of songs to our children, but how important it is for you and I as mom and dad to be reminded, be kind. tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Because God forgave us. And we want to make sure that our behavior is consistent in manner with being a forgiving person. I don't know what you're known like in your home. But if in your home your reputation is kind of having a grudge or a chip on your shoulder, or people have to kind of skirt around or walk on eggshells or not sure which version of you they're getting that particular day, I just want to come alongside in love this morning and say, why not ask God to say, Lord, would you help me have a manner of just someone who lives forgiven and forgiving? Help me not to be someone with a grudge and a bag of hurts all the times. And man, you think you've had it bad. Let me tell you what I've been, and we could just, go toe to toe with anybody. Let's just ask God to say, God, you forgot about all my stuff. Help me to forget about all this stuff. And help me just to live enjoying. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice in it. Man, the sun's shining today. If I face eternity, I go to heaven. I live in the greatest country on the globe. I can walk. I can talk. I can see. I can hear. I got clothes on my back. I ate some food this morning. Man, I'm in a great class at a great church. We got a Christmas party tonight. Man, this is incredible. What a life! I live a dream. It's unbelievable. Listen, if you just took some time to count your blessings, you'd be amazed. Make sure the manner is right. Letter E, don't allow your past hurts to occupy your thoughts. And sometimes we get plagued with that, don't we? But what does the Bible say? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I don't have time to develop this, but couples, this is why it's so important. When something comes up in your relationship that it is talked about, that it is dealt with, that it is rendered, that it is restored, that it is resolved, and that it is put to bed. So then we can move on. And we can relate, and we can have the nurturing relationship that we should enjoy. And then when the thought comes back in your mind of something that somebody did or something that somebody said or something that happened in the past, may our response be, I don't need to think about that. I don't need to deal with that. I've already forgiven that person. I need to cast this down. This is an evil thought. This is an imagination. This is something that Satan is trying to bring to my mind to hurt our home or to disrupt our relationship, and I need to put it behind me. I'm so thankful that I can go to God, and it doesn't remind me of every error that I've ever made. And so it should be in our home relationship, that as things are rendered and as things are resolved, that they're put behind us, and when they come back up, that we cast them down and not bring them back into the arena of the relationship. Amen. Casting down the past hurts and thoughts. Letter F, extend forgiveness permanently. Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Again, not conditional, not revocable. This is what it's going to be. I choose to forgive. Brother Roll, I don't know how I'm going to get there. Last thought, letter G, pray for your offender. In Matthew 5, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. When you're praying for the one that has hurt you, it's a challenge. I realize that. You take a routine that is utterly against your flesh. You're doing something you don't want to do. Nobody will ever know you're doing it, but your heart could break, and God could use that to answer your prayer that you could forgive them and be released of bitterness. I don't know what's happening in your heart and in your life and in your home and in your marriage today, but I want to encourage you. Let's not swallow the lie from the world. I can't forgive. They've just done too much to me. And listen to me. This lesson is not about making little of what's been done to you. I know just enough about some lives in this room to know some have been through some pretty dark valleys. And I'm not making little of that this morning. I'm just making big of the forgiveness of God. God forgave me for so much. And if I understand that and embrace it, He will give me the power to forgive. And if I will understand God's pattern, if I will make it a priority, and if I'll follow that biblical pathway to begin to be a forgiving person, it could change my life. It could change my marriage. It could change a home. And I pray that as we look to 2015, that His design will be comprised of homes full of forgivers, recognizing we relate with imperfect people. Mistakes are going to happen and we're going to get hurt. We're not trying to hurt one another. We're coming here to learn how not to. But when mistakes happen, we trip up. we're going to make it right, and we're going to forgive. And we're just going to do our best to live like Christ. And I think that honors and pleases Him. Heavenly Father, we sure love You. Thank You for some time together this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd bless these thoughts in our lives. Help us to live in a way that brings You honor and glory. Help us to pattern after Your example. And may we truly live forgiven with the ability to forgive. Bless our class, Lord, richly. Give them a blessed Christmas season. A wonderful time together tonight for a Christmas party. How we're looking forward to that. And help us to finish strong next Sunday right in here at 10 a.m. And we'll sure praise and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.